Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Nixendor Cookables Show. My name is Nixendor Cookables, the namesake for this here podcast. Recently, I took a look at game development tools that just so happened to be free software compliant. As long as we take a look at the Free Software Foundation's free software ethos, that is. Essentially, when it comes to game development, you would know things like Aceprite and Photoshop for art, game engines like Unreal Engine and Unity, VS Code for your integrated development environment, etc. However, in this episode, I will be going into tools that are free software compliant, and even do categories for those looking to escape the subscription models of the proprietary tools. Keep in mind that they are all tools for GNU Linux operating systems, which I will assume you're using. Windows users will be able to use these tools with the executable files. Without any further ado, let's get started. Your first tool you need to consider is your engine. What are you going to be making your game in? In my case, I'm learning Godot, though I'll be using a fork called Rideau, which was created as a result of some drama between some members of the Godot community. I won't get into that today, as you'll want to research this on your own. In light of that, it's a well-known engine regardless, licensed under MIT license, which is arguably free software if we use the Free Software Foundation definition. This was in production since 2007 and was originally proprietary, but open sourcing it made things a whole lot easier. The languages officially supported are its own language called GDScript, a Python dialect, C, C++, and C#. With the .NET and Mono package. Despite this, there are other packages to add more languages in the LSP. Like, for example, when I had tried to learn it, I'd seen a Lua package for Godot, interestingly enough. In terms of what this is capable of, this is primarily designed for 2D games. But there are 3D games made using this engine too, as I will be covering here shortly. It's really designed to be easy to use while you also learn the primary language of Godot script, which, as mentioned, is a dialect of Python that even the guys at Tesla were known to use for their AIs. Tesla's going under some absolute poop-slinging right now, shall I say, but I'm not going to get into that today. Godot is a what-you-see-is-what-you-get engine, as far as I'm aware, and, if done right and utilized properly, is one of the most capable floss engines you could use. Now, for those that like visual scripting, Rideau has it where it was removed from Godot for some odd reason that I didn't look into. Despite this, Godot overall is one of the best engines that anybody can look into for something that's battle-tested throughout the annals of time. With that out of the way, this is the engine that's used in games like Liblast, a floss shooter under MIT license, Sonic Colors Ultimate, though it's heavily modified and uses the Hedgehog engine and Zeras as a result, Buckshot Roulette, Brotato, Your Only Move is Hustle, and Virtual Cottage, to name a few. No wonder the popularity of this engine is absolutely off the charts. Despite the community split resulting in Rideau, which again I will end up using if I get the chance to attempt this, this is a solid option. Some notable options that are open source are Dry, an Urho 3D fork made by Lucky Games, Lucky with an E before the Y. Louvre, a Lua framework, spelled as Love. Torque 3D, a C++ and ActionScript engine used for Beamon G Drive. Panda 3D, a Disney-oriented engine for Imagineers using Python or C++. And Stride, a C# game engine that's apparently quite good. Formerly, it was called Zenko Engine. Otherwise, Godot might be the best option for those starting out. Next up will be version control. Anybody who's a programmer knows that you need some version of a game that you can go back to whenever it has issues with the latest version, or you just need to reset something. Git is well known for this type of thing, but SVN is another popular option. The other alternative that I've found to those two is the likes of Fossil, a decentralized version control and management program with Git support. I'll need to learn it, but I thought I'd mention this neat little program. Next up will be Art. Now, there is project management, which Fossil actually does, but I'm not going to get into that. If you're an artist and are looking for alternatives to the proprietary stuff, then listen up. This one's for you. The options that are industry standard are Photoshop and Maya, which are both proprietary garbage. Maya, I heard, is pretty darn good, despite that. Now, let's get into the art programs first, before I get to 3D modeling. For art, your direct alternative to Photoshop is GIMP. But there are others like Krita, MyPaint, RPaint. These are different programs. Inkscape, an alternative for Illustrator by Adobe, and InPainter. These all support drawing tablets, which I would imagine a digital artist would have, and are all pressure sensitivity supported. Inkscape is designed for SVG files, but everything else is not designed for that primary purpose. Now, for 3D modeling, there's some shenanigans I had to pull in order to do this list. Your best option is Blender, which was used in the likes of Guilty Gear Strive and other games that implement 3D models. Despite this, you don't want animation or potentially VFX. Well, if that's the case, some other options are Dead Deer, B for Artists, the letter B, and then for Artists, all in one word. Fragmentarium, an IDE for 3D modeling, and GMSH. Blender is the best known, but the others are not so much known. I tried my hand at Blender for making a human model, but gave up knowing I wouldn't be that talented for this type of thing anyway. Don't get me started in what was used for promotional renders in the Nintendo 64 days, which is a little something called NURBS, or Non-Uniform Rational B-Splines. NURBS is essentially a mathematical algorithm that doesn't use polygons like Blender. NURBS was used before Power Animator and then Maya. Nowadays, Blender tends to be used for a lot of the game development. Hey, I'm just trying to save y'all money here, so I hope I helped your wallet out, even if it was a little bit. Next, audio. This is my realm in terms of music. Sound effects, not so much. However, a lot of musicians and composers, like myself, use a DAW. I've talked about Ardour extensively, so I don't need to cover that. However, others, both proprietary and open source ones, exist, such as Ableton Live, Logic Pro, Bitwig Studio, FL Studio, Harrison Mixbus, Propellerhead Reason, LMMS, Pro Tools, Waveform, Digital Performer, Qtractor, Reaper, Rose Garden, and Radium for some other examples. Pick your poison in this regard. For actual sound effects, the standard options tend to be FMOD and WIs. However, after taking a look, I found that options like Audacity and OpenALSoft are probably your best options if you're into this sort of thing. I couldn't find anything else regarding sound effects, to be completely fair. If you have any ideas, feel free to let me know in the comments. Next is your Integrated Development Environment, or IDE. Now, as we know, Visual Studio is the IDE of choice, and even its lighter cousin, VS Code, is used by a lot of programmers. This is proprietary poopware. However, to get out of the espionage while still maintaining the use of VS Code, VS Codeium is a good option, as well as the likes of CodeOSS. However, if you want a different IDE, there are several options for this out there. I'll give you some of those well-known ones and some not-so-known options in the mix. Those are Vim, NeoVim, or BIM for a terminal UI option, Kate, Eclipse, IntelliJ IDEA for Java and Kotlin, Emacs, a well-known free software editor that even Stallman uses on a regular basis as far as I'm aware, Zed, Genie, spelled G-E-A-N-Y, Apache NetBeans, Pulsar, the Atom editor fork, LightXL, an editor written in Lua, LapCE, an editor written in Rust for the Rustations out there, Eclipse Thea, Phoenix Code, a gamified programming language software that I need to look into, Ecode, and CodeBlocks, a C++ IDE with another language or two. I may have missed an editor or specific IDE for language. That's because I'm covering multi-language IDEs here, so hopefully this makes sense for the most part. And yes, I made sure they were all free Libre open source software as promised. Next will be your conceptualization and brainstorming software. From one of the sources I'm using, their recommendations are Trello and Miro. However, these are proprietary options, and I'm here to provide alternatives for you to look into. I will be giving them from Trello alternatives first, and then I'll go into Miro alternatives that I had found. Of course, being free Libre open source software. Those are Kanboard, as in Khan from Star Trek, but without the H. Tillywork. Tilly is spelled T-I-L-L-Y. Column App, spelled without the vowels, specifically column. Kaneo, Canary, Taralo, and 4GA for Trello alternatives. For Miro, there are two options for mind mapping similar to it, which are DeepNotes and TeamMapper. I had found an alternative or two of some others, like Excalidraw, and in some cases, LibreOffice Draw might also be a good option to consider. I was looking for Lucidchart alternatives here, though if you like proprietary poopware, Lucidchart was a pretty good piece of software, so I heard. Next, prototyping and wireframing. The options shown here from my second source today are Balsamiq with a Q and Figma. Your open source options are QuantUX, Quant spelled Q-U-A-N-T, and Penpot, which do both prototyping and wireframing. I had not looked into these, as I just did a cursory search, but I thought I would mention this regardless here. However, there's much, much more to this type of thing, and I'm going to end that there. Now, we have a question from the marshmallow side of things, after a 4-month hiatus. Link is below for those who want to ask me questions on Marshmallow or FeedKa, and I'll do this at the end of every episode if I get any questions. And if I get enough, I'll do a couple. This question reads, "Hello, Nixendoy Kokubles. Interesting thing to do. I am a big fan. When will you cover Oasis by Wonderwall? I am also interested in Stairway to Heaven. Thank you." As a side note, I had to edit this question because I looked this up myself and I had to change a couple things around. Despite that, I appreciate the comment, curious being. However, I had taken a look at Oasis's Wonderwall when I got to this question. I knew of Stairway to Heaven prior to this question, too, but not so much Wonderwall. I have no ability to cover those, since I don't have the vocal range to pull this off. However, I could find a bossa nova piece that has similar vibes to those two pieces you mentioned. I could probably do that instead. I'd be happy to bring out the Ibanez again and play a bossa nova piece, as I did when I covered Usamba de Mineterra by the late Dorval Caymmi. With that sorted, I can end this episode here. You can listen to this podcast every Wednesday afternoon at 1600 hours Pacific time, that is 4 p.m., both on YouTube and Podcast 2.0 Catchers. You can also grab the RSS feed linked below on YouTube side and listen to this podcast on your Podcast 1.0 Catcher if you'd like to do that as an option. That said, this has been the Nixendoy Kokubles Show for this week. Thank you, and good night.